Let us pray. God of all creation, you visit the earth and water it, and make it glorious in your grace. We thank you for your love, and we open our hearts to your grace, that by your Spirit alive in us, we may live lives of humble praise. Amen. A reading from the prophet Joel. O children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in the Lord your God, for God has given the early rain for your vindication. God has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and the later rain, as before. The threshing floors shall be full of grain. The vats shall overflow with wine and oil. I will repay you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army which I sent against you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is no other. And my people shall never again be put to shame. Then afterward I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female slaves, in those days I will pour out my Spirit. The word of life. A reading from 2 Timothy. As for me, I am already being poured out as an offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for Christ's appearing. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and that all Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and save me for God's heavenly kingdom. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Luke's gospel in the 18th chapter. Jesus told a parable to those who trusted in themselves and regarded others with contempt. He said, two people went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing alone, prayed like this, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, like thieves and rogues and adulterers, or like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of my income. But the tax collector stood far off and couldn't even look up to heaven, but beating their breast prayed, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And it was that one, not the other one, who went home closer to God. For all those who humble themselves will be exalted, and all those who exalt themselves will be humbled. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody want to go make music? When we were expecting our first child, I was worried. I was worried that I would not have enough love. I was pretty sure that what it took to raise a child was more love than I had. The moment Daniel was born and laid in my arms, there was this Niagara Falls of love that just poured out of me for this little baby. It was stunning. I did not see that coming. It was powerful. It was beautiful. It was pure. It was perfect. And I loved that baby perfectly. I loved him for his sake, with every fiber of my being, and I was there for him. And for days, I just loved him perfectly. I did everything for him, and I would have done anything for him. For a while. And then something else started to happen. There would be these little tiny moments when I was so tired that Niagara Falls would diminish a little, and I would love him, but not perfectly. There were times when I was afraid because I didn't know what to do, or frustrated because I wasn't in control, or terrified because I knew that I had this much responsibility and I didn't know what to do next. There were times when my own wounds and needs and desires would plug up that Niagara Falls, and it wouldn't flow quite as freely. The river of God is full of water, says the psalm, but my river was sometimes full and sometimes not quite. Now, I wasn't a bad parent, but I wasn't perfect. I didn't love him perfectly the way I did those first few days. And what happened next, I'm aware of not because I watched it in Daniel, but because as an adult, I could look at my own childhood and realize that I wasn't loved perfectly either. And there were times when my mom would get real mad at me, and I learned at this instinctive level to sort of watch out and not make mom mad. And I learned that sometimes my dad would just sort of miss me, just go right by me and not notice me. So I learned to I had to get his attention and make sure he was proud of me and noticed me. And it wasn't what I believed in my head, but what I experienced was that love is actually not perfect. It's not unconditional. You have to be good enough to get loved. I would never have said that because I didn't believe it. But somewhere deep, deep, deep unconscious, it was true. Partly because it started being true when I was 2 weeks old. I didn't have a way to process that. And what I noticed is that because I wasn't loved perfectly, I didn't know how to receive love perfectly. I didn't know how to receive perfect love. And all those wounds and needs and fears and desires would get in my way, and it kept me from being able to love perfectly. I wasn't a bad dad. My kids, of all three of our boys, have turned out great. It wasn't that I was lacking in any virtue. I just didn't know how to receive love perfectly. And so I didn't know how to give love perfectly. And it wasn't my fault, right? It wasn't something I did wrong, because my parents did that to me, and I did it to Daniel. And it wasn't my parents' fault, because their parents did it to them. And their parents did it. You can see where that's going. It goes all the way back to when we were Neanderthals. It goes all the way back to Lucy. This state of this sort of fear and mistrust, this woundedness, because we weren't loved perfectly, we don't know how to receive love perfectly, and therefore we don't know how to give love perfectly. That state that we're in is what we call sin. Now, some people are surprised to hear that because they think sin means being bad. Sin means breaking some rules. Sin means that there's something awful with you. It doesn't mean that. It just means that we haven't learned how to receive love perfectly. That's all. And because of it, we can't love perfectly. And because it goes all the way back to when we were Neanderthals, we call it original sin. It doesn't have anything to do with sex. It doesn't have anything to do with being bad. It's just that it was there before we were. So when we're in this state, one of the obvious symptoms is the way we treat each other. We don't love each other perfectly. One of the hidden symptoms that's even more profound is that when all we know is imperfect love, that's all we have, that's what we project onto God. And we imagine that God is just like we are, only bigger. Which means God is even more to be afraid of if God gets mad at us. Or we have to try even harder to impress God and get God's attention and make sure that we're good enough for God to love. All of that is entirely false, and it's a product not of God, but of our sin. But because we're sinners, we live in that place where we think we need to be good enough for God to love us. In this anxiety about whether we're going to go to heaven or hell, right? I mean, people talk about that. Now, sometimes that anxiety takes the form of despair, and we'll say, I'm no good. I'm just a terrible person. Because we're so anxious about being loved because of how good we are. Sometimes that anxiety takes the form of denial. I'm good enough. I'm fine. I'm okay. God ought to love me because, you know, I'm good enough. That is the Pharisee's prayer. Oh, thank God I'm not like those people. Thieves and adulterers and rogues. And I'm not like that tax collector. I'm better than that. Because there's this underlying fear that I have to be in order for God to love me. Now, we don't actually believe that. And if you tell people, they'll say, no, I don't think that. I'm better than that. That's the Pharisee's prayer. Pretending that we are not sinful. That we don't need God's love and don't know how to receive it. So when we're in that state, what is God going to do? God just loves us. And when we think we're not good enough, God loves us. And when we think we're so good that we deserve it, God just loves us. And when we don't even notice, don't even care, don't even pay attention, God just loves us. Because God is love. God is not someone who decides how much water is going over Niagara Falls. God is Niagara Falls. All God can do is love us. That's God's mercy, that God loves us no matter what. And there's nothing we can do to change that any more than there's anything that Daniel could do when he was one day old to make me love him any less. So what do? When we know that our problem is that we are not able to receive God's love, what do we need to do? We need to practice. That's the prayer of the tax collector. He knows he is sinful. He knows he's not able to receive God's love fully. So he practices. Be merciful to me. He opens himself up to God and God's mercy. You notice in the Pharisee's prayer, there's no room for God. I'm good. I'm great. I deserve the best. In fact, it's not really even a prayer. He's just standing, as Jesus says, alone, talking to himself about himself. I fast twice a week. I give all my money. I'm like this. The tax collector's prayer is an opening to God. He acknowledges that he's sinful, that he's not good at receiving God's love, and therefore not good at giving it. So he opens himself to God's mercy. Be merciful to me, a sinner. So we pray. We practice receiving God's love. Centering prayer is a form of prayer in which we just do that one thing. We just center ourselves in God's love. Sometimes we need a word or a couple of words to help us, bring us back, remind us. We might use words like, have mercy. And we just keep reminding ourselves that we're here to practice receiving God's mercy. The Jesus Prayer is an ancient prayer, comes from the 3rd or 4th century, and it brings out all of these prayers that people prayed to Jesus, or that Jesus told stories about people praying, opening themselves to God's mercy. The prayer of the tax collector: God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The prayer of Bartimaeus, the blind beggar, who cries out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The cry of the 10 lepers that we heard last week, Jesus, have mercy on us. The Jesus Prayer: Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. We're aware of our sinfulness, but what we dwell on is the mercy of God. We see our belovedness and our betrayal of it in the light of our belovedness. And we practice that over and over and over again. I recommend that you pray this prayer, even this simple form, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, every morning. Pray it until it gets stuck in your head and you walk through the day open to God's mercy. Pray it, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, until you become ceaselessly aware that everybody receives God's mercy, that nobody is worthy or unworthy. Everybody is just beloved. We pray it until it begins to change that deep, deep fear and distrust in us that we never quite get over, so we have to keep practicing until we become fully, deeply open to the river of God that's full of water. People ask me, so if I sit down and say this prayer, how long should I pray it? Until it makes you smile. Will you pray with me? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I do not know how to receive your love perfectly, fully. So I open my heart the best I can. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. For your deep and infinite love, we give you thanks. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Amen.